It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Welcome to the MMA show. Thank you for joining me today. I have a special show just for you. I hope you enjoy it. I have radio theater, but at first I want to get us into the mood. So I have Kenny Rogers and Wynonna Judd with Mary Did You Know.
Don't go away, Amber May will be right back.
With the rapid pace of technology advancements, purchasing computers or networking your business's workstations can become confusing and frustrating. Let LPGA Technology Control help provide answers to all your computer-related needs. Whether you have one computer or a 50 workstation network, we can help plot a course to make the best use of your investment. LPGA Technology Control provides consulting, installation, and upgrade products and services for systems of all sizes. Visit us on the web at www.lpga.net or give us a call at 623-873-8888. That's 623-873-8888.
If you're like me, finding just the right gift to people you know is important. That's why you should check out Zazzle.com. And when you use promo code AmberMayShow, you will save 10% off $50 or more. Add your own personal touch to the existing products so you can create just the right gift for the person in your life. Zazzle.com also has products for your business. You can customize your stationery, postage, binders, etc. There's so much you can do at Zazzle.com, and when you use promo code AmberMaySave, you will save 12% off $75 or more. Remember, AmberMayShow for 10% off $50, and AmberMaySave for 12% off $75 or more. Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm so glad you tuned in today, because I'm doing something a little different than I normally do. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what the real meaning of Christmas is? Do you know what the greatest thing that's ever happened to this earth is? Well, if you don't, then you're going to want to stay tuned for the next half hour, because I'm going to tell you what the single most important thing that's ever happened to this earth and what the true meaning of Christmas is. And it all begins with the birth of Christ, the true story of Christmas. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?"
Mary asked the angel.
"Since I am a virgin."
The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God."
"I am the Lord's servant,"
Mary answered.
"May it be to me as you have said."
Then the angel left her. And this is how the birth of Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophet.
"The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us."
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor over Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord hath told us about.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had just been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they've been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked,
Where is the one born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born.
For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said,
Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him.
After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream.
Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.
So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet,
Out of Egypt I called my son.
When Herod realized that they had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled.
A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said,
Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.
So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said by the prophets.
He will be called a Nazarene.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord.
Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping in what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went up into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother,
This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It was prophesied by the prophets that through the line of David, the Messiah would come. And so here it's being foretold and brought about to fruition that the Messiah would arrive on earth. And what does that mean? That means that me and you have hope. That there is life after death, and we could be with the Most High God ever, and we don't have to worry about pain or suffering or finances, and that we have hope. Jesus was all man and all God, and he was tempted in everything, the Bible says, that we're tempted in, and he defeated him, and he paid the price for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly and be able to enter the kingdom of heaven just because he took all the sins of the world on him. Everything that was done during his time and in years to come was put on God. So God knows exactly what we're going through if we lose a child, because he gave his only son to us to be born so that we may be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. God loved us so much that he sent his only child, his perfect child, to come to earth. He didn't commit any sin so that we might have salvation and be able to enter into heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the reason why he was called King of the Jews, and the reason why the Magi or the wise men thought he was a king, is because he came from a royal lineage of King David, King Solomon, from that line. Jewish custom in Joseph and Mary's day recognized this date called betrothal. That fell somewhere between our modern commitments of engagement and marriage. A betrothal was more binding than an engagement. It could only be broken with an act of divorce. And if a betrothed woman became pregnant, she was regarded as an adulteress and usually was stoned to death. Among biblical writers, only Luke dated the events he wrote about by referring to Roman emperors. He had determined to write a thorough factual account of Jesus' life, which included setting the events in historical context. Because of the Roman census mentioned here, Mary had to travel from her hometown to be in a very advanced state of pregnancy. As a result, the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling an ancient prophecy. If a public relations firm planned the introduction of God's Son on earth, whom would they invite? Certainly not a group like Luke introduces. No Roman emperor or Greek philosopher attended. Instead, Luke tells of an obscure priest and his wife, a carpenter and his young fiance, a group of shepherds, and two elderly people. Jesus never had much to do with the high and mighty, except during his trial and execution. He would change the world through the lives of ordinary people. Of the four Gospels, Matthew alone tells of the visit of the Magi or the wise men. This incident shows that people from other parts of the world, not just from Israel, were anticipating the Messiah. The Magi's visit underscores that Jesus came for all people, not just the Jews. So why did God come to earth as a man named Jesus? American radio broadcaster Paul Harvey once told a modern parable about a religious skeptic who worked as a farmer. One raw winter night, the man heard an irregular thumping sound against the kitchen storm door. He went to a window and watched as tiny shivering sparrows, attracted to the evident of warmth inside, beat in vain against the glass. Touch, the farmer bundled up and trudged through the fresh snow to open the barn door for the struggling birds. He turned on the light and tossed some hay in the corner, but the sparrows, which had scattered in all directions when he emerged from the house, hid in the darkness, afraid. The man tried various tactics to get them into the barn. He laid down a trail of saltine crackers, crumbs to direct them. He tried circling behind the birds to drive them towards the barn. Nothing worked. He, a huge alien creature, had terrified them. The birds couldn't comprehend he was actually trying to help. The farmer withdrew to his house and watched the doomed sparrows through a window. As he stared, a thought hit him like lightning from a clear blue sky. If only I could become a bird, one of them, just for a moment, then I wouldn't frighten them so. I could show them the way to warmth and safety. At that same moment, another thought dawned on him. He grasped the reason Jesus was born. A man becoming a bird is nothing compared to God becoming a man. The concept of a sovereign, eternal being who created the universe, confining himself to a human body, was and is too much for some people to believe. But how else could God truly communicate with us? We don't know what God looked like as a man. No gospel writer described the physical appearance of Jesus. But in other ways, Mark painted a full picture of his humanity. Jesus, who was claimed to be God, didn't have a supernatural glow about him. His own neighbors and family marveled that he seemed so well normal. Mark does not diminish Jesus. He shows the power of a man who healed the blind with a simple touch, and the authority of a teacher so captivating that people sat 3 days straight with empty stomachs just to hear him. Even after Jesus hushed them, people wouldn't stop talking about his miracles. But Mark also revealed the full range of Jesus' emotions, a surge of compassion for people with leprosy, a deep sigh in response to nagging Pharisees, a look of anger and distress at cold-hearted legalists, and then an awful cry on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was sometimes witty, and he sometimes cried. He got tired, he sought a quiet place for rest after the crowds. Jesus was like no other person who had ever lived. 12 men left their jobs and families at a single command to follow him. Yet Jesus was also fully one of us. He needed food and friends, he got lonely and tired, and he showed anger and disappointment. Because Jesus experienced all we experience as human beings, he can understand us completely and share in our joys and sorrows. Mark portrays both sides of Jesus, the divine and the human. Suppose that Jesus had never come, that God had merely sent an elaborate love note. What difference would that have made? Mark was a writer. He was a young man and he followed Jesus. And because of these young men, they were able to see everything firsthand and give an account of what happened and wrote it down, just like historians do. So what would have happened if Jesus never came? We would never know much about God. We would be like the birds, afraid of this alien creature, not really understanding what's going on. This is the true meaning of Christmas. It's a meaning of joy, hope, love, peace. Because of God loving us so much to send a son just so we could have everlasting life. None of us are perfect, but Jesus was perfect because he was all God, just like he was all man. It's kind of hard for us to understand and comprehend. But he had to do that. It's kind of like this. Let's say we committed some kind of crime, and we're before the judge, and he's about to give us our sentence. And through the court doors, a man rushes up to the judge and says, "May I approach the bench?" The judge says, "Okay." And this man says, "Doesn't matter what that man did. I'm willing to pay the price for whatever he did. So whatever sentence you're going to give him, I'll take it on his behalf." And the judge says, "Okay." And then you're allowed to walk scot-free. Someone paid the price for you, for your freedom, for your ability. That's in essence what Jesus did for us. You know, none of us are perfect, and we all do things that are right. But all God wanted is us to love Him, and all He wanted is our relationship. He could have created us to just force us to love Him, but it's not true love. Imagine if you're with somebody, and they're only with you because you're making them. Either you're holding something over them, or they're so afraid of you to leave you for the fear of their life, so they stay. You're not really experiencing true love. Maybe they'll say it to you because maybe they're afraid of you. But that's not true love. So that can't truly be satisfying. Not like if someone did it out of their free will. And God gives us that choice every day. Do we want Him or not? Do we love Him or not? It's more satisfying to God if we have a choice to love Him or not, rather than being forced. So on that note, when you're thinking of Christmas this year, think of how much God loved us so that we can have a wonderful life someday in heaven. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, think about number two, because eventually number two is going to look out for you. Have a very Merry Christmas.
PerfectMatch.com is a recognized leader in online dating and the only online dating service to offer the Duet Total Compatibility System. Visit PerfectMatch.com/Amber to receive 2 months free when you purchase 2 months. That's PerfectMatch.com/Amber.
If you are in the market for shoes or apparel, check out eastbay.com and save 15% off your order when you use the code AFAMBER1 at checkout. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER1 at checkout. Or 20% off $75 or more when you use the code AFAMBER2 at checkout. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER2 again at checkout.